message tonight is for every one of us, but each one of us will have our own individual way in which we would consider it, in which we would live it, apply it, so on. I heard about a book on various sports records. It shared positive ones, negative ones. I don't know the author. I don't know who the publisher was. And it was an older book, so the statistics from it are older. However, the facts that it shared were remarkable. Mickey Mantle, New York Yankees, he died in 1995. He holds, of course, many baseball records and is known by name even by people who aren't sports fans. He had a major league record in his day for the most strikeouts in a career, 1,710, not including the World Series, which is a different category. And then Johnny Unitas from the Baltimore Colts. I know that because the book said it. Otherwise, I may not know that, okay? He was named quarterback of the half century. And he held the record for the most fumbles in the National Football League. George Blanda, at the time this was written, was the oldest football star. And he held the record for the most passes intercepted at 276. Now, why are these men of sports remembered and considered famous when they have such remarkable records of failure? Why? They're remembered because they were not afraid to fail. They were not afraid to try. It is only common sense that the more one tries, the more he's going to fail. And the reverse. The more one tries, the more they'll succeed.
Amen.
Here's another amazing record of stolen bases. This was reaching way back to 1915, and a player named Ty Cobb. He had the most stolen bases in one year. 96 stolen bases. But he tried it 134 times, which means that he had 38 failures. Now, 38 failures seems pretty much, but he'd have never achieved the record in his day for successful ones if he had not tried. And so we need to remember that it is failure is not always a defeat. There was once a young man who had been born in poverty. He ran for legislature, but lost. He went into business and failed. He fell in love, but she died. He ran for Congress and was defeated. Applied for a job at the U.S. Land Office and was refused. Ran for the U.S. Senate and was defeated. He ran for the presidency of the United States of America and was elected, Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln said, and I quote, "My concern is not if you failed, but if you're content in your failure." Okay? You see, biblical contentment does not eliminate striving. Biblical contentment does not remove putting forth effort to try to be better. It is accepting what is and wherein it can be changed to go about and change it. It was the Apostle Paul who said, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." And yet, we know because he taught us contentment. Thomas Edison, in discovering the light bulb, had over 10,000 failures. 10,000 failures in order for us to enjoy what we have today. Someone asked him why he didn't quit, why he wasn't discouraged. And Thomas Edison's reply was, "Well, I now know 10,000 ways that won't work." let me tell you, that's a marvelous approach to things. Thomas Edison made his failure stepping stones, not stumbling blocks. Boy, that sounds good, doesn't it? He made his failure stepping stones, not stumbling blocks. And that is so true. But you know, that lives so hard. I may know that here, but boy, when you're going about living it, that's another matter. William Shakespeare said, and I know that it's important to you to know what William Shakespeare said, okay? Our doubts are traitors and make us lose the good we might win by fearing to attempt. And indeed, if we fail to try, we are destined to fail. Being afraid to try, that is failure. When a person tries and fails, it is not failure if he'll learn from it. Have anything you've tried and it didn't go right? If you can learn from it and try it again and succeed, then you didn't fail. You had a learning experience. That, or you can simply try and fail and quit. And then you can be guaranteed that you'll never achieve it. And your success will be in that you failed and gave up. There is one thing worse than trying and failing. It is not trying at all. Step out for God. Abraham could have feared and failed leaving Ur of the Chaldees to go to a new land that was promised to him. Imagine, if you will, his friends and relatives, when he said, "We're going," what their reaction may have been. But whatever their discouragement may have been, he nevertheless tried. Here is something that I think we need to remember. Courage is not the absence of fear. It is the conquest of fear.
Yes, sir.
Not the absence of fear. A courageous, you'll hear many, many a veteran who was in a battle situation, who did something that was heroic and are being commended for them. I have heard repeatedly them say that, you know, the one interviewer would say, "Well, were you not afraid?" And they'll say, "Oh, I was very much afraid. But this had to be done." And so it is indeed the conquest of fear. To go through, even though one is scared of maybe failing. Well, look at it this way. Maybe we'll succeed. Okay? If we can say, "Well, maybe I'll fail." Well, why not look on the half full glass side? Maybe we'll succeed. Now, lest anybody think that perhaps I've been reading and listening to too many positive stinkers. I usually refer to them as positive thinkers. Like Norman Vincent Peale. Is it Charles Schumer? No. That's our guy. No, Schuller. Charles Schuller. And the current one today is Joel Osteen.
Yeah, I love it.
I swear, his jaws must hurt. Maybe I'm just envious that he has such a big smile and I have trouble giving a toothy smile. But, you know, consider, if you will, these scriptures. Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs 24. And verse 16. This sets the precedent, but we will look at several other scriptures that encourage us to not be afraid of failure, to keep on. on, keeping on, as the old saints used to say. Proverbs chapter 24, and Solomon wrote here in the 16th verse, "For a just man falleth seven times and rises up again."
Amen.
Okay? God told us here, He knows that a just man is going to have times when they'll fail. He's going to have times when they're going to fall. The thing is, we cannot allow the devil to discourage us with that and just let ourselves lie there. Right. What do we tell our children when they fall? Oh, come on, get up, you'll live. Okay? Well, that's what the father says, you know. The mother says, get up, come here, and I'll hug it and kiss it, you know. A just man falleth seven times. Now, seven is an interesting number, isn't it? In the scripture, it's God's number. It's an endless number. And so, I don't think that he's telling us here that, you know, when you fall the eighth time, you can stay down. I think what he's telling us is that when we fall, we need to get back up again. Now listen, sometimes when we fall in some experience in life, we'll get right up. We'll just get right back up. I've watched TV programs already, and somebody gets hit and knocked, and they fall down, and they just lay there. And I talk to them. Okay, do you talk to your TV? I talk to them. Well, get up, or you'll get run over. and they don't get up. Then Pat will say to me, "I don't think he heard you." Sometimes we'll get up quickly. Other times it might take us a little longer to get up. And you know, even in that, the devil will try to use that to defeat us. But the fact of the matter is that a just man is not going to stay down. He's going to get back up. And we'll see why here in some other scriptures. I'm turning now to Micah chapter 7. Now, Micah is one of them little books lost in the middle of those books at the end of the Old Testament. And we got Hosea, Joel, Amos, okay, Micah. If you see Habakkuk and Haggai and Zechariah, you've gone too far, okay? So, Micah chapter 7. You think after 47 years of preaching and how many years of being a Christian, I worked with boys and girls and children's club to memorize, you think I would know these like that. You'd think. All right, Micah chapter 7, and look at verse 8. "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall rise. When I sit in darkness," and here's why we'll rise again, "the Lord shall be a light unto me."
Amen. That's right.
Okay, so you've tried something and it's not worked. And you've fallen. Okay, if it's not one of them things that you can just bounce right back up from, then okay, this is Roger Haynes speaking now. Lay there for a little while. Not too long. Not too long, or you'll get comfortable in your failure. You'll get used to it. You'll begin to think, and the devil will assist your thinking, that it doesn't really matter. But you know it matters, and so we need to get back up, just as verse 8 says, "When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me." When I fall, I'm going to rise up. How do I know I'm going to rise up? Because the Lord is going to be there to raise me up. You say, how's he going to do that? Sometimes he'll just prick our conscience. Sometimes he'll just whisper to us that we've had enough pity party now. Okay? And other times he'll take a 2x4 and get our attention. Now, how he does that is different for different people. What may be a 2x4 to you might just be a bit of a tap to another person, okay? And what might be a still small voice to one might be like a shout to another person. That's God's part. That's God's business. I'm just saying, a just man falls seven times, but he gets up. And he gets up again because the Lord is the one that is going to be working in him to get him up. Look at the way 2 Corinthians, the way that the Apostle Paul put it, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I heard a message on this passage that has always been an encouragement to me, somewhat fascinating. The claim of the preacher is that it seemed to have sports symbolism behind it, the sports of that day, obviously, and he applied it to some of the sports of our day. I'm not going there, but let's look at it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. But we have this treasure, the treasure of the message of the gospel of God and the grace of God as he describes it in the beginning of this chapter. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, in us, in our body, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, listen to this. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. You see, four instances there of difficulty, of a fall-like experience, troubled, perplexed, persecuted, harassed, we'd say maybe today, though persecution is different than harassment. Cast down. These are all describing a kind of situation in which we'd be able to look at them and the person could say that they've fallen. But they don't stay down. They don't give up. They don't quit. Because even though they're troubled all around, everywhere they look, but they're not distressed. Why? Because God is with them and God will raise them up. We do believe that, don't we? If we don't believe that, we've really got a problem. Okay? Now, experiencing it isn't always easy. But experience, it's going to begin by believing it. By acknowledging it. By claiming it. Persecuted, but not forsaken. God's with us. Cast down. Boy, you may feel like Beetle Bailey in the cartoons when Sarge takes into him the way the guy who created it draws it, you know. Beetle looks all bent out of shape, you know, arms and legs, and he just looks a mess. And cast down, but not destroyed. Because the next night in the paper or the next, you know, cartoon block, it's going to show Beetle looking normal again. You may feel cast down sometime. You may feel like you're all, oh hey, isn't this applicable? You may be all bent out of shape. Something happens and we can get bent out of shape, as we say, to it. Maybe it's not the situation, but it's our reaction to it. But listen, here's what he says. He says he was cast down, but not destroyed. There's no need to be destroyed. You do not have to be destroyed. If we're destroyed as a believer, if a believer is destroyed, it's because they did not use the grace that God wanted to give them. There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. And God, with that temptation, makes what? A way of escape. Now, remember, temptation you can look at as a solicitation to sin. A solicitation from the devil to do evil. You can also look at the aspect of temptation that it's a testing. And there hath no testing taken you. There is no, whether it's a solicitation to sin or it's just an experience of living that is testing you, there is nothing you're experiencing that God can handle. Right. He can handle everything. Okay. He does handle everything. Yeah. And it's not the easiest to be cast down. It's not the easiest to be troubled. It's not the easiest to be perplexed. But now, okay, we see we're perplexed. We see we're troubled. We see we're cast down. Now what? Some sometimes the greatest prayer that we need to pray is, Lord, help me to not give up. You know, with God, we don't have to pretend to be some great super saint like we have to before each other. Now, we don't have to before each other, but we frequently do. We can just say to God, God, I don't understand this. God, this doesn't seem fair. I know we tell our children, well, life isn't always fair. And God would say to us, life isn't always fair. But we can talk to God. Amen. Lord, I don't understand this. But I know you're righteous, and I know you care for me, and I know you'll help me. Lord, I'm perplexed. And then he'll come to us and he'll say, yeah, but you're not in despair. Look at how many things you have for you. Look at how many things are going for you. Well, that's the one that always gets me. Just about the time I'm ready for a pity party, then God reminds me of all of the good things, the right things, the positive things. You know, very honestly, depending on where I am in my party, I'm not interested in hearing about all the presents I already have. Yeah. I just want to think about what I don't have.
That's right.
And that's when we go from a small, gentle tap on the shoulder to, well, let's just say, a fly swatter, okay? And then if I don't respond to that, then he'll come on with the 2x4. I see two basic groups. One is the eager and the ambitious. The eager and the ambitious try hard and fail. Well, don't be defeated. If that would describe you as eager and ambitious, just get up, okay? Don't give up. Dr. Paul Petticord was an older man who was leader in a church group out in the West Coast. I think the state of Washington and Oregon was in his district. And they had some major changes that came into their association. And one of the older ministers complained to him about the enthusiasm of the younger men. And he felt that they just needed some tempering and some toning down. And I recall hearing Dr. Petticord say to that older man, "Well, God forgive us for losing our fire."
Yay.
Okay? So you have the eager and the ambitious. And if you've tried hard and failed, just get up. Don't give up. Get God's direction and try again. But then the other group is the hesitant and the cautious. They are very careful, and their care is frequently thought of by some as maturity, when in reality, it might just be procrastination. Fearful of taking a risk because they're fearful of failing. So these are very careful in planning and preparing, planning and praying, but they never get around to really trying very much. And so it is to them, we would say, try all of that which your experience has enabled you to know about. You know, when I was going over the message, the hesitant and the cautious, I remember here about a month ago, there was a Democratic legislature from somewhere in the West Coast who was very supportive of our president, and she was the first one to make a statement that was considered not real supportive when she observed that he is very cautious. He is very cautious and therein slow to act until the circumstances force him to act. We should never find ourselves in that kind of situation where God speaks to us, God convicts us, God burdens us, and we think about it, we plan and we pray, we prepare and we pray, but never get around to trying. So you have the eager and ambitious, you have the hesitant and the cautious. The fact of the matter is, we need to do what the Lord would have us to do. Let's look at Psalm 34. Psalm 34 and verse 19. Psalm 34, verse 19. And we need to take courage in this. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all.
Amen.
Many are the afflictions of the righteous. We'll have them. It's part of life. Many of the things that we experience really are not generated by our faith. It's just life. When I go out in the morning and I have 4 flat tires on my car, that's not because I'm a Christian. But if I'm not careful, the devil will get me thinking that way.
That's right.
And how will he do that? I'll begin to think, oh, why, Lord? I've been living for you. Where is there a guarantee that if you're living for God, we won't have the ordinary problems of life?
Right.
Yeah.
We have a really high esteem of ourselves that somehow God is obligated to eliminate from our life all of the ordinary problems that other people have. It's when the godly in Christ Jesus suffer persecution for their godliness that we can now go to God and pray for strength. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Well, now let me address tonight anybody that may be here that's not saved. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, it may be because you're afraid to come for salvation.
Right.
Yeah.
There's no need to fear. Remember, the Apostle Paul said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, speaking to people who had come, he will perform it. There's no need to fear coming to God. He'll do the work.
That's right.
2 Timothy 1:12, we sang it. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. If you'll bring your life committed to the Lord, you are guaranteed by God that he will keep you. And he will perform in you what is needed. It doesn't mean that it'll always be the easiest thing going. But life is not easy. But with God, it is possible.
That's right.
All things are possible with God. Don't be afraid to try. If you fail, well, just get up, try again.
Amen, brother.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love and grace, your goodness and faithfulness to us. We know, dear Father, that were it not for the work that you have done in us, we would not even be here tonight to be listening to your word. So thank you, Father, for what you're doing in us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.